there's a chapter in my book, The Lucifer Principle, A Scientific Expedition into the Forces of History, that basically says we have to do everything in our power to understand why we make war, so that we stop making war, so that eventually somehow we achieve Isaiah's vision of turning our swords into plows and our spears into pruning hooks. But we haven't gotten there yet, and as many understandings as the Lucifer Principle tries to throw at you, and as many understandings as Global Brain, my second book, tries to give you as to why we are so violent and how we can get out of it, it isn't enough. And I know we're not going to stop war while I'm still alive. But it says in this one chapter of the Lucifer Principle, because we're not going to be able to stop war during our lifetimes, and because war has become so dangerous in a nuclear age, especially a nuclear age where nuclear is going retail, if we don't get off this planet and put a bit of our species someplace else, we may extinguish our species utterly.
There are a lot of people who think that the reason that officially we have not heard from others is because they tend to, when they get to about the stage we're at now, blow themselves up.
And that's it is a theory.
It's a reasonable hypothesis, actually.
Right.
So, look, help me out here. Again, with NASA, you're suggesting we need to get going in space, and of course we're sort of going backwards right now. Are we really in that dangerous a time with NASA? In other words, are they really in that much trouble?
Well, they are, because the people that I've been in contact with, first of all, to give you a little bit more of the story.
Now, these are people you cannot name, right?
No, I don't want to name them at all. But I was asked to contribute the chapter that I just told you about to a book called Beyond Earth. And it was being put together by the Aerospace Technologies Working Group. And I became a member of this group thinking that it was a group of rocket enthusiasts, rocket hobbyists. I was wrong. It was a group that was founded in 1989 by NASA. And all of a sudden, I was in the midst of NASA people. One of NASA's people had an epiphany, a conversion, approximately 6 weeks ago. And suddenly, space solar power, which had seemed virtually impossible, he saw as not only possible, but very easily realizable, and not easily, but something that can be realized and something that's absolutely necessary for America. Absolutely necessary for America. And he converted me to this vision. Now, there's an important thing to keep in mind here. Why is Islam right now such a threat? Because of the power of ideas. Because Muhammad's ideas have held a people together that goes all the way from Algeria to Aceh in Indonesia for close to 1,400 years. And it is said in Proverbs that without a vision, the people will perish. And in the United States, I don't think we see ourselves as on the way to some new vast frontier that will open up, and in the process of our opening it, will benefit all of humanity.
Now, since President Kennedy directed us to go to the moon, we really have not had a vision, honestly, Howard, and I felt that was a big mistake for America. America has always operated itself on visions, on plans for the future. And
exactly.
I'm in agreement with you. I think that power from space is eminently doable. Now, the plan I've always heard features a satellite in geosynchronous orbit, collecting vast amounts of solar energy very efficiently, of course, in space, and then returning it to Earth with microwave.
Which is very similar to what Tesla, who is in the current issue of After Dark magazine, was doing. Broadcasting microwaves, broadcasting electricity.
That's right.
And the conversion rate of that microwave back to electricity is 78%, which is a very, very high conversion rate.
Pretty damn good, yes.
Now, what one of my friends from NSF has been doing is funding a lot of the technologies that are needed for space solar power. Specifically, if you send one satellite up and it unfurls its great vast arrays, because they fold up like fans, they're fairly easy to carry, and you send another one up and another one up and another one up and another one up, he's been funding robotic intelligences that will allow all of these assemblies to hook up together. But then I said to my friends in the space community a few weeks ago, it's not a good idea to have one central source of anything. That can always be knocked out of the sky. wouldn't it be better if Minneapolis had its own space solar power satellite? If the fans of the Brooklyn Dodgers, they don't exist anymore, but if the fan of the Oakland Dodgers had their own space solar power satellite up in space, in other words, if many independent groups could have their own space solar power satellites, so that, like the Internet, it's a vastly distributed form of ownership.
Yeah, the grid can be fed here on Earth.
Right, and my friends in the space community all said, yes, it's eminently possible. Now, I've been trying to basically take the temperature of the people in the space community and see what kind of a vision comes out of what they really want more than anything else. And I put a four-part plan together, again, because we have to have a long-term vision of where we're going and why. Step one is biofuels to carry us over for the next 17 to 20 years until we're really able to get a lot of stuff going in space.
Yeah, we do need a buffer.
Right. Space solar, because we won't be able to afford space if we keep spending our money on oil like this. Nor will you and I have the spirit to continue if we feel that we're constantly like the head of a mop that's being swished around by somebody who has a handle on us. And that's the way we're being treated these days. The second step is space solar power. The third step is mining the moon and the asteroids. There are people who, when you go to these conventions, I'm at my third space convention in the last 6 weeks. I'm sitting here in a hotel room in Washington, D.C., overlooking the Potomac River and overlooking the airport, which is off in the distance on its own island. It's a lovely view. But the point is that there are people at these sessions, every single one of them, who point out exactly what the prices are of platinum and titanium, how much platinum and titanium there is in asteroids, and how much we can bring back to Earth and how much it would be worth and what a profit we'd make. But that's
Howard, I could not be in more agreement with you, but, you know, the view that you just described actually is comprised of the exact people that have to be convinced. The people at NASA, the scientists, they're probably, for the most part, all for this. I'm sure they're all for it. They realize the reasonable aspects of getting power from space. It's not NASA you've got to convince. It's the people in that view in front of you right now.
That's right. And so what I've been doing is I've been traveling across the country, meeting with the people in the space community, trying to get a consensus vision. By the way, step four is Mars. Step four is one of your periodic guests, Robert Zubrin's vision of how to colonize Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. We have to get a vision across to the public. But first, I have to pull together a consensus. It doesn't have to be me. Somebody else could do it, but the only one who's doing it right now is me. And I want to pull together a consensus vision. And once we have that consensus vision, then determine how to get together a public relations structure